Chapter 3. The Terror of the Land. We went to bed about 11 o'clock. We spread out some blankets and put Red Chief between us. We weren't afraid he'd run away. He kept us awake for 3 hours, jumping up and reaching for his gun and screaming, "Hey, partner!" in our ears. Any small sound, like the snap of a branch, seemed to his young imagination to be the secret approach of the enemy. At last, I fell into a troubled sleep. I dreamed that I had been kidnapped and chained to a tree by a cruel pirate with red hair. Just as day was breaking, I was awakened by a string of awful screams from Bill. They weren't yells or howls or shouts, such as you'd expect from a man. They were horrible screams, such as some women produce when they see ghosts or caterpillars. It's an awful thing to hear a strong, desperate, fat man scream out of control in a cave at daybreak. I jumped up to see what the matter was. Red Chief was sitting on Bill's chest. He had some of Bill's hair in one hand. In the other, he held the sharp knife we used for cutting meat. He was working hard, trying to take Bill's scalp. This was the sentence Red Chief had given Old Hank the evening before. I got the knife away from the kid and made him lie down again. Still, from that moment, Bill's spirit was broken. He lay down on his blanket, but he never closed an eye again in sleep as long as that boy was with us. I went back to my own blanket, hiding the knife from the kid. I fell in and out of sleep for a while, but along toward sunrise, I recalled that Red Chief had said I was to be burned at the rising of the sun. I wasn't nervous or afraid. Still, I sat up and lit my pipe and leaned against a rock.
"What are you getting up so soon for, Sam?" asked Bill.
"Me," I said. "Oh, I got a kind of pain in my shoulder. I thought sitting up would rest it."
"You're a liar," Bill said. "You were to be burned at daybreak, and you're afraid he'd do it. You know he would, too, if he could find a match. Ain't it awful, Sam? Do you think anybody'll pay money to get a little terror like that back home?"
"Sure," I said. "A wild kid like that is just the kind that parents are crazy about. Now, you and Red Chief get up and cook breakfast while I go up on the top of the mountain and see what's going on." I went up to the top of the little mountain and ran my eyes over the area. Over towards Summit, I expected to see the farmers of the village armed with weapons searching the countryside for the kidnappers. Instead, what I saw was a peaceful scene with just one man and a horse working in a field. Nobody was dragging the stream. No messengers ran about bringing news to the worried parents. Only a happy, quiet, sleepy attitude lay across the surface of that Alabama countryside. "Perhaps," I said to myself, "it has not yet been discovered that the wolves have taken away the little lamb from the fold. Heaven help the wolves." Then I went down the mountain to breakfast.